This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ah, Grody!
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Grody! Mark Grody is here, and you should stick around because at 6 o'clock tonight, the Take the North podcast is going to be doing a live show from the Performance Studio, the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio. Grody's going to be, is that two Snickers bars that you've got?
Two Snicker bars for you two gentlemen.
What?
Which I have thieved from Hallis Hall. I will tell you, now I got to give the Bears a lot of credit. They have put out a bucket, which has been there for like the last month, of whole Snickers for the media. They have
amazing.
Not been taken, and so I brought some for you guys.
That's incredible. Trent Dilfer told them to put buckets out a long time ago for Justin Fields. Yeah.
Has he called you guys back since he stopped coming on the show, by the way?
Well, he did a really bad job coaching a college football team, and then we haven't heard from him.
See what happens when you diss the Score.
By the way, you look great. That's an excellent jacket.
This is my performance jacket. That's what it is, man.
Performance studio jacket.
Is that suede? What is that?
Yeah, it is suede. Levi's suede. Found it like one of those, like, oh my god, like it was like on the wrong rack at a store. I'm like, that looks nice.
Yeah, it does.
And it was
it's
cheap.
The jacket.
It's all
the
about jacket. The jacket. So here you go, Lawrence. Here you go. There's your
over
stickers.
The Take the North t-shirt.
Thank you very
there
much,
sir.
Snickers.
That's very kind
it's
of
very,
you.
Very nice of you.
Just
yes.
Two
very
Snickers.
Nice of you.
And thank you to the Bears as well. They treat us very well when
Thanks
it comes
to the
to
Bears
food. Yes,
for that.
Absolutely. By the way, Dan Wiederer is on his way up here right this very moment to join me on Take the North from 6 to 7. He's one of the founding fathers, of course, of the Take the North podcast, along with David Haw and Adam Stanzinski. I got to give him credit, too.
And Benjamin Franklin.
And Benjamin Franklin, who, from what I understand, not the greatest of guys in the world, Benjamin Franklin.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of
huge stuff out
right,
there.
Sure. But a huge Bears fan. Like, really?
Yeah, big Bears. Yeah. Five Bears, maybe. Not from here. We'll get to that, by the way.
There's a lot of Bears coming out a little bit later.
He was way
in this
ahead
segment.
Of the game in that regard of being a Bears fan. You know, some
yes, of course.
150 years before it would even...
Very, very early.
That is correct.
So the assistant coaches talked today. Who'd you get to hear from?
Yes, we got to hear from everybody today. The coordinators, the position coaches. But for you guys, you get the big names. We're giving you guys the coordinators here today, starting with... You all think I want to start with the offensive guy, but I'm not. I'm going to start with the defensive guy because from the defensive guy, I thought, relatively speaking... came some news on the potential expanded role of the recently minted and moneyed Kyler Gordon.
He's got coverage skills. He's highly intelligent.
I think one of the things that impressed me the most was, you know, how they played him last year. They were kind of a field defense. He lined up to the field, but you know, he got into the box a lot, you know, and fit in the run game. And so I think he's got a really good understanding of how to fit there. And you know, our nickels are going to have to fit in the run game. And so, you know, I think that was kind of one of the things that we thought was, you know, a pretty good fit for us.
Is there a player you've coached that has a similar skill set?
You know, look, really, I mean, honestly, I don't really like to get into, like, all the comparisons and stuff like that. I would say that, you know, a lot of things that we look for in the nickel position, you know, he has that skill set. I think the other thing that, and I've talked to him about this, is, you know, where do we find that second position for him? You know, where it's not just he's a nickel only, you know. Does he go outside and compete at outside corner? Does he compete some at safety? I've told him to, you know, that he needs to be learning both of those spots, and we'll figure out where that second position, you know, that where he can go and compete, and you know, hopefully we can find some more playing time for him.
Do you have a sense of whether he'd be a better outside corner or safety?
Yeah, he's played more outside corner, you know, so obviously that would be the comfort level, but some of the things that I see him do and the way that he fits in the run game tells me that he could be a fit, you know, at safety also. So, and look, we've had guys that have had the flexibility to play a lot of different positions. I think that's important in today's football, where you're not just locked into one thing, being able to be multiple and do a lot of different things. And so that's something that I think he can do. And as we get to know him better, spend more time with him, start to get out on the field with him a little bit more, we'll have a better feel for, you know, where that second position might be and where we want to try to work him.
That is some exciting, juicy football stuff.
I am jacked about the idea of this. And the reason why, Speaks, is because this is what I want coaches to do. If you have a good thing or a player that you think can handle it, I want them on the field as much as possible. I don't care what position they're listed as.
Could not agree more. And especially in this league that is now, what, 70% nickel. So, because a lot of times you look at snap percentages like we all do on a Sunday night or a Monday morning, and you'll see, oh, look at that. The two starting corners played 100% of the snaps. Well, if Kyler Gordon is this good of a player in your secondary, he shouldn't play whatever percentage of snaps the other team decided to play.
Correct.
With three wide receivers. So that means when they get out of that and they're just using two wideouts, how do I keep Kyler Gordon on the field because he's damn good? So that's the beginnings of the creativity. And I got to say, I thought earlier that maybe cornerback like Tyreek Stevenson would feel the brunt of this. The more he talks, the more I think about Jaquan Brisker or the second safety position, being where like, no, I'll leave Tyreek here. We'll just move Kyler to a safety in air quotes where he could be in the run game still from a safety position.
Because he's not afraid of it.
It's interesting. When Kyler Gordon first came to the Bears, I remember his training camp, and what they did with him in his first training camp was they were doing that. They were playing him everywhere. And I think it got to the point where it was like almost too much at first. And then in his second year, they were like, all we're going to deal with you, you're going to be our nickel corner. We're not going to throw all sorts of other stuff at you. But here he is now, you know, almost 4 years later, in a position where he has developed enough. He is good enough now that these players or these coaches, Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen, look at him and say, oh boy, this guy can play in a lot of different positions. He was a second round pick, but he could have been a first round pick. I mean, there were projections.
That's what Matt Miller actually told us earlier today, that we had him go back into his notes, and he said he had him at low first or high second round.
Yeah, I think a lot of those guys, the draft experts, had that. So let's just not forget about how, like, he wasn't, this isn't like some random guy who the Bears found, you know, in the haystack.
No, that's a good recall by you on the fact that they used him all over the place. I remember that now. And then they decided to dial in on the nickel. But, man, Lawrence, this is how you want coaches to think. Who do I have? How can I use them more? And it seems like Ben Johnson thinks that way offensively, and it's great to hear Dennis Allen think that way defensively.
You know what's cool about this too, Speaks, is it's one thing for the front office to like you. and the front office gave Kyler Gordon a big old pile of money. It's another thing for that to happen at the same time that a new coach goes and like, no, that guy right there. I like that guy. I can use that guy. He is perfect for what it is that I want to do.
And what that does as an organization, it lets you get more value out of your investment. You're going to go ahead and invest in him, and he's one of the highest paid nickels.
He is the highest paid nickel now.
Okay, but you start using him at a bigger percentage at other spots. All of a sudden, that money, that bottom line, looks better because you're using him more than any other nickel.
It's the 2010 tight ends that were really receivers, and they wanted to be paid like receivers, but they got paid like tight ends. And then they looked up at the end of it like, wait a minute, where's my damn money?
Mm-hmm. That'd be Martellus.
Martellus is one of those.
Martellus Bennett. Who was the...
I mean, Olsen. Olsen had a few different contracts.
Jimmy Graham.
Oh, yeah. He was the original. Yeah. He was the first one I remember being pay me like a wide receiver.
Yeah, like you're using me like a wide receiver. I'm getting 100 catches. Yeah. Use me like a wide receiver. Pay me like one.
Speaking of offense, gentlemen, let us move on to the offense and the new young offensive coordinator of the Bears, Declan Doyle. Here he is talking about Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson.
I think Caleb is hungry for growth. I think that, you know, obviously the sky's the limit with his athletic ability, with his talent. But being around him, just the person himself, I think he really wants to do well. I think he wants to be great. I think it's really important to him. And, you know, he's been very open to accepting feedback, accepting coaching, and, you know, really starting to build that relationship where we're going to be able to build this thing and really – hit his ceiling.
After watching Ben's offense in Detroit, what kind of stands out about what he's able to do over there?
I think stress the defense on every snap. I think that's the number one thing. The offense is built to put pressure on defenses in a number of ways. That could be how we align. That could be the tempo we're using. That's what stands out, you know, first and foremost. And then secondly, the commitment to the detail and the fundamentals. We were sitting in an offensive staff meeting, and he was talking about, like, the secret sauce is not scheme. The secret sauce is the commitment to the fundamentals and the fact that we're gonna uphold the standard every single day when we come in here. And you know, that's what stands out on the tape, is like you see exactly what they were coaching, and it shows up on the tape.
That's pretty cool that the fundamentals show up like that. I love the first part, Lawrence, about Caleb being hungry for the feedback and taking it well. A lot of pressure on Caleb to take it all and learn as much as he can, as quickly as he can.
I'm also impressed because, you know, Declan Doyle's a young dude, and he's making his way. He's going to be doing all the dirty work for the head coach. Impressed that he's comfortable.
You know what he called it today? The dirty work, because he was asked the question, what is it that you do here? And he said he considered himself a, quote, supplement. He is a supplement to Ben Johnson.
It's the best.
Yeah. He's a very serious, like, this is my first time with Declan Doyle. Very serious guy. You could tell he's very smart.
Hey, man.
This is not a guy who's going to be joking around a lot, which is fine.
Yeah, but that's fine. But, yeah, like, there was that video that circulated of him as a very young assistant when he was at the Senior Bowl one time, and he was talking about all the grunt work that he had to do, and he was so happy and willing to do it. And he's still that guy who's so young and advanced so quickly. He's happy to do whatever the hell he's got to do. He's an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
At 28.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have a favorite supplement? Anybody? Shane, you take supplements?
B12.
No, P12.
I mean, B12.
I get a B12 shot every month.
Oh, that's so awesome. Okay.
Fish oil.
Fish. Oh, yeah. I used to do fish oil. Yeah.
Magnesium.
Mm-hmm. You got to be careful when you burp, though, after the fish oil.
Danny, you got a favorite supplement?
I do ashwagandha.
Oh. Tell us more. What is the magic?
It helps calm you down. You know what I mean?
Okay. Calm you down.
Yeah.
Also, cocaine is a favorite supplement of mine. But I just take a little at a time.
Just a little bump. Yeah, Port's got a big bucket of it in his office. So, yeah, just go in there every once in a while.
How y'all liking this cocaine?
I'm microdosing cocaine, actually. I just take a tiny bit. Every 5 minutes, I take a tiny little bit.
I do have one more Declan Doyle.
Y'all, I brought this in from Cincinnati. They have a lot of it.
This is so much better than the cocaine in Nashville.
Hold
I'll tell
on a
you
second.
That.
Wouldn't those be more meth places, actually? Wouldn't those be more?
I don't know.
He's got it all, dude. I'm not talking
meth,
about the
crank, all of it.
Chili. All of it.
Chili. What else do I hear up here? Declan Doyle. Okay, so there's one thing that.
Doyle.
Barstow back. So they're Declan Doyle. One thing we've been hearing about the Bears from this regime, this coaching staff from the very beginning, is look out. This training camp is going to be hard. And I keep wondering, like, what are we going to have two-a-days out there? What's going to be going on? We have full pad? We're going to break rules out there? So I took the question to Declan Doyle because he, again, brought that up today.
How do you guys go about making it harder or feeling that pressure? Because we've heard that, like, from the beginning of this regime.
Yeah. I think that that's an attitude and that's a standard. You know, the behavior that you walk by, okay, becomes the standard that you accept, and that's the new standard. Really, it's you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. And so every single thing that we're doing on a daily basis has to be held to that standard. And that's really a high level of communication from Ben at the very top to explain his vision to us, and then us holding our players, our other coaches accountable to that standard.
How do you feel like the players have responded to that? Like, has it been an adjustment to them?
I think they're very hungry for that coaching. I think they're very excited about Ben. You know, he walks into his first meeting and, you know, he is impactful when he speaks. I think they are really excited for, you know, a little bit of a change, and they're excited to meet that challenge. That's been my experience with the full group and the quarterbacks as well.
You know, there's an opportunity when you have this natural excitement of the new coach and an exciting new coach. And that's to install the stuff that matters as cleanly and efficiently as you can. I love hearing about coaching up the coaches, because we saw that that was an absolute failure of the last regime, making sure the coaches know exactly what you want and you can all get the message across together.
And is it any surprise that he said this group of players is hungry for coaching?
Yeah.
They said it last year during the season.
They did. Yeah. They did tell us.
Like, oh, you noticed that, huh?
You know, it'll be good as if we got coached a little bit. It'll be good.
Wow. These
Everyone
guys.
From the oldest to the youngest. Yeah. Remember that quote?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. And it was the oldest that was doing the talking.
Yeah,
sure.
Mercedes.
Wow.
Yes. Are you guys ready? Shane, are you ready for HT? Richard
of
Hightower.
I wish it was all HT.
Yeah. Our favorite holdover.
He's back.
This is
one of only just a few holdovers, right?
Yeah, they're the Jim Dre, the tight ends coach, is still in the house.
Long time Jim Dre guy.
Here. Yeah, I know. I know. He was available today, by the way. Oh. Should have come on out.
Damn,
it would have been great. Hightower today, Richard Hightower, who coaches special teams for the Chicago Bears, was asked about the new kick returner, Devin Duvernay.
Devin specifically, you said?
That's right.
Well, I think Brian and those guys have done an unbelievable job getting a lot of guys in. But if you're speaking about Devin is obviously got all the accolades that you guys can say. I will say we're going to call him Duvernay until he makes some plays, and then we'll refer to him as Devin. All right? Because we got a Devin around here that's the Devin. But anyway, just that's a challenge for Duve. But we had great conversations, and he's looking forward to competing. Nothing's going to be given. Obviously, we got an open roster spot there. Nothing's going to be given. He's looking forward to competing. But good question.
Okay, Richard, this is a 2-time Pro Bowler, first team All Pro in 2021. Me thinks he's going to get the job. But good for Richard Hightower.
Oh, gets a couple extra Bears for that, doesn't he?
Defending. We got a Devin around here.
Yeah, defending the honor of Mr.
Absolutely.
Hester.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have foregone the Richard Hightower is not from here part. So yes, he does get an added Bear for
Devin
sure.
Devin Hester, you are ridiculous.
He's not the only one that received Bears today.
Oh, my God, guys. I was a little bit overwhelmed by this. I'm going to just play a portion of Antoine Randall L., the local, the kid, Antoine Randall L., the new Bears wide receivers coach.
And assistant head coach, right?
And assistant head coach.
Interesting
make sure
title.
We get that right.
Very interesting
he
title.
He was great. I would encourage people to listen to his entire press conference, but I thought this was great. I don't know where to go with the Bears from here, but here it is.
I'd like to be here wearing a Bears hoodie and being back to Chicago.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, I can't express it enough just being back and being in the Bears hoodie. It's pretty cool. And it's just, you know, growing up and watching the Bears and rooting for them when we're not playing them type deal. So it's always been a thing for me to get back here, and the way it happened was pretty good. So I'm excited and I'm thankful more than anything.
What are your core memories as a Bears fan as a kid? What do you remember most?
I always remember the Super Bowl shuffle. Like I remember that, and I just remember the fridge, and like for me, it was it's like I was Willie Gault. I was the Gentry. Like I had a chance, and we played Tecmo Bowl with those guys, so it was a big deal. So those are the memories. Really, was the Super Bowl years, and even coming up, like it was just like, man. Because I always wanted to go pro on whatever came first as it relates to the sport. And, you know, I'm like, man, could I have a play for the Bears? Like, that was always a deal. Now, that didn't happen. It almost happened. Somewhere between there, but I ended up going to Washington. But anywho, man, it's always been just going up and watching them. It's, that Super Bowl and the shuffle and all that stuff and singing it and hanging out with it was always a good deal.
Oh, my God. What'd you get up to over there, Lawrence? I should check it off the Bears.
I had 7 Bears.
Whoa.
I mean, I don't know. Grody, you almost blacked out during that thing.
I did. I was palpitating the whole time.
He was waiting for a Kubasa.
The rhythm is back. Okay.
He got me. You know when he got me?
Tecmo Bowl,
oh, man. Yeah.
Is that still happening? Oh,
Tecmo Bears.
Oh, my God.
Is that going to be a thing?
I just want to play Willie Gault.
Honestly, you know when he got me?
I
want
to play Antoine Randall L.
When he really got me? Wow. Well, it was Dennis Gentry. Pinky, man.
Pinky. Dropping Pinky. Yeah. That shows
number 29.
Depth. That shows depth of knowledge.
And appreciation, right. Third down draw, give it to Dennis Gentry. Down. You know what I'm saying?
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Good for him, man.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's like, wow. That's lifelong dream type stuff.
He was talking about how now he visits his parents 2 times a week. He's got a couple of older grandmothers that he gets to hang out with. So it was just really good stuff from Antoine Randall L.
And as he said, like he wanted to go pro in whatever sport happened.
Well, wasn't he drafted by the Cubs?
I mean, he was football, basketball, and baseball star in high school. Obviously, he played basketball in college, right?
Did he play at Indiana? I covered high school basketball during his time downstate. So like the Peoria boys would go up against the guys up here. So
yeah, he was
familiar with him.
14th round by the Cubs.
Drafted by the Cubs, played hoops at Indiana while also playing football.
He talked about the hoops a little bit today. He said that he's probably the best basketball player in the building. He said he shot around with guys who shoot pretty well, but then he said, well, once we start moving actually playing, he said he would take over. So
yeah.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Antoine Randall L.
Love that all those guys talked today. There's probably more meat on that bone for us.
There's a lot of meat on that bone for you guys.
Sacked by
Anthony Heron.
Big Heron. Oh, shout out to Big Ant.
I think he got him twice.
Brought him down, huh?
Yeah.
Did he just text you that?
No.
Okay. He texted about Candace Bergen earlier.
Oh, he did.
That's a callback to something you weren't a part of.
Neither was I.
Uh-oh.
Wait, I was.
Porth, I think, heard the segment.
Uh-oh. Probably getting text messages. They were talking about you and cocaine or something.
This is about you being a trafficker from Cincinnati.
What has the big city done to you?
Now
exactly.
Now that Porth heard it, he's got to take away all the cocaine.
Well, he just came in here and asked us, y'all want some cocaine?
Nugget on
Y'all's
Randall L.
Y'all's gonna get me in trouble.
Weederer told me that Randall L. apologized to Dan Weederer.
For what?
Because he said he stole an Altoid off of his desk. So that was his introduction to Dan Weederer. So, and of course, Dan, was like,
he stole an Altoid off Dan Weederer's desk?
That's right.
I didn't know Dan Weederer had a desk.
Well, no, we all have
everyone
the carols. Everyone
has their own space.
Is that a carol? Is that what that's called? Yeah. And his carol is very close to the interview room where the interview subjects are lined up. So they abuse his space, basically. Him and Biggs's.
Wow.
Biggs's.
That's all right, man.
And Dan Weederer is going to be with you in about 30 minutes in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio as Take the North is being recorded live.
That is correct. We will be there. We're going to try to do a little audience participation during the show. We're going to have Jared Payton on the show.
Oh.
So we're going to have a blast. The hour is going to go very fast. Yeah. One other little nugget here. Dennis Allen asked if the pass rush is now a strength of the team with Dio Adangbo and Grady Jarrett being here. And he only said that is just a start. So makes me wonder.
Yeah, man.
I'm
really wondering how much they're going to address edge rusher in the draft.
Yes.
Which is a week from tonight. Yep. And knowing that what his defenses are and how he gets pressure from all over the place, I don't know that it'll be an edge rusher, but I would like it to be.
Groats, thank you very much for doing this. Good luck tonight. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to walk past it after we get done with the show. I'm sure you guys are going to crush. Walk past.
No, of course.
I don't want to take anyone's spot.
I understand. You guys are more than welcome to come down. You get a free ticket for, you know, since I'm a permanent member of the Tributosaurus audience.
You are.
Yes.
You are. And you brought us the Snickers.
Yeah, I did do that.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
It's bears. Ten bears.
It's the man.
Bye.
Bulls, when we come back, we have wanted to talk to people about the Bulls since the beginning of the show. You watched the debacle that was the play-in game last night.
Ugh.
Now we're going to open the phone lines and we're going to let you speak to us about the Bulls. 312-644-6767. What annoyed you about what you saw last night and the future of the Bulls? That's next here on The Score.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Dog man, he's on the all Chicago all dog team. He and Nate Davis are teammates on the all dog team.
I'm not willing to go that far with Patrick Williams. I think Patrick Williams is trying. I think that the problem is that the projection on him was really bad and off. And the problem that I have, I don't even have a problem with them taking him at four, projecting out what he could be because you look at that body. My problem is extending him after what you saw him be.
It's the worst move. I think that's the worst move of the regime, is extending him. And not only did they could have tried to trade him and do something with him in any one of those years. They couldn't self-diagnose it. And then extending him just because, why? Why? Just because they didn't want to give up on their own guy?
It's very weird, and I'm scared that they're going to do the exact same thing with Josh Giddey. Let's go out to Jason in Oswego. Hey, Jason, you're on Spiegel and Holmes. What do you think about the Bulls?
Hey, guys. I wanted to talk about Coby White for a second. I know the guy's done a lot of good things for the team. He's done a lot of great things. But he was lost last night. And every time the camera showed his face last night, he looked like he wasn't ready to play last night. And why we left him in the game past halfway through the third quarter, give somebody else some kind of chance? Turnovers, flat shots. He looked completely lost last night.
He's your best scorer by far, and with Giddey hurt, he's your best offensive generator. So, no, I had no problem with him being out there.
I think that he looked lost because they game planned for him.
Yeah, he's like, that's the thing. Once you're as good as he's gotten, and you are as important as to your team winning as he's gotten, that moves you up on the scouting report.
And you know that, you know, Giddey is dealing with whatever forearm thing that he's got going on, so you sag off of him and dare other people to try and beat you.
So when Spoelstra is looking at the scouting report, Coby White's right up there on the top.
He is the scouting report.
He's the top of the scouting report. So it's like, so yeah, you got to worry about that. What else is there to worry about?
But that's part of the problem. And it's part of the issue. And Billy was asked about it last night, that how can a team succeed without an all-star?
And then I've asked you this question a couple times throughout the year in different instances. But at the same time, you guys have built this team. There's no all-star. There's guys that potentially could be all-stars. But potential is, you know, right. It's just hope. Miami has an all-star and Hero. The all-star came to play in a mm-hmm. game like this. Until you guys get to that level, don't you have one hand tied behind your back until this organization can figure out how do we get that all-star, how do we get that dude?
Yeah, man, I think to your point, you know, one of the things I think has changed a little bit over the course of the NBA was it was quote-unquote you have to have three guys. Right. But I think what's happened now is because of the pace of the game and the speed of the game, sometimes having three guys like that financially doesn't allow you to kind of build out your team.
Right.
To your point, absolutely. You look at any great team, they have a guy that's really, really elite. You know what I mean? And you can go – and I mean, and a lot of times it's, you know, in the backcourt. You know, Brunson's obviously been great in New York. Shea's been great in Oklahoma City. Van Fleet's really helped. You know, you can go – Curry, you can kind of go down the list. And I'm not saying he needs to be a backcourt player, but, you know, I think Kobe made a really, really good jump wherever he gets to. I don't know. Josh made a good jump as well. But to your point, you know, the guys that you're talking about, that is. And I'm sure those will be all things that the front office will take a look at as they go into the draft and into, you know, free agency and all those things. So I don't disagree with you because that's kind of been the case. I just think what's changed maybe is it used to be
the number
of guys you needed. But, you know, I think now – you know, you have to kind of build out a whole entire team, but clearly you need a really, really good player. But I was encouraged to see the jump that Kobe and Josh made, you know, and the jump that Modest made. Are they there, you know, right now? No, but, certainly Kobe's inching closer and closer to that, in my opinion, with the way he's played.
Man, it's really interesting. I think Billy's the best basketball mind over there, and he's done a really good job coaching. The reference to Jalen Brunson is telling. That's a kid who grew into a superstar. That's a kid who grew and maybe got coached and fit with the perfect guy in Thibodeau, but the growth happened in Dallas. But that's clearly what they think they need to do is, like, develop kids into superstars.
I also think that guy is limited, and you're going to see it play out over the next couple of weeks. He's exciting and he's electric and he's from here and I love the way he plays. He's only going to get you so far.
I get it, but the concept of like having one of your own guys grow into something is what they believe in. You know what I mean? Like instead of tanking and getting worse.
And maybe that's Modest, but even still, like even as much as we talked about Modest, what did he average? 9-5 when he went out there and played. I think there's something there. But I'm not ready to say that they've found the guy that's going to be the star that they can rely on. You know what I mean?
Of course. Can't say that yet.
He didn't look
afraid of the moment last night.
This is why I wanted Modest to get more time.
Yeah.
When early in the year, he was not afraid. And he is predisposed to attack. And I love that. I love that he thinks that he's the best player on the floor. That's at least a good place to start when you're looking for a superstar, that he believes that he belongs there, that he's not afraid to go up against guys and challenge them at the rim. That type of stuff, that's what superstars are made of.
A current media icon with a sentiment for an all-time great that I can get behind. As a concept.
All right, let's do that next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Afternoons on The Score.
They bought the filibaters. What is it called? The filibation units?
He's almost there, man.
Doggy!
Defilibator. Defilibator. Lawrence, have you ever heard him talk about the movie Daredevil?
The movie or the series?
The movie.
No, I've never heard him talk about it.
Oh, it's one of the great things of all time. He and Mike Francesa talking about new movies, and at the time, Daredevil was one of them.
Would you go see Daredevil?
Which one is that now?
That's Ben Affleck's new movie about the guy who's a blind crime fighter who turns into Daredevil.
True story.
Nope. I will say that the Daredevil series on Marvel,
yeah,
Daredevil Born Again,
it's really good.
I'm gonna watch the finale tonight.
Well, you should tell Mad Dog about it. He thinks it's a true story.
I don't think he'll get it. He should be all over that. It's the protector of Hell's Kitchen.
We played that for him. We played that for Chris Mad Dog Russo in studio.
Yeah, that was bad. I messed up on that one.
Yeah, you got me. That's a good call.
God, he was so cool. He
was so fun. He was so damn fun. Well, yesterday, he was talking with one of the great golfers of all time, one of the six men who have won the career Grand Slam, Gary Player. And apparently, he wished something at the end that tickled Tanny.
Think about young people now realizing they've got to do training with weights. And realize, young people, to never, ever, ever give up. As Winston Churchill said, never give up. You've got to keep trying, strive for education, and think what it's done for tourism in Ireland. Can you imagine?
100%. Royal St. Rush, here I come. Whatever that, Port Rush, whatever it's called. There I am there next. You are the best. Stay alive. Thanks for coming on, Gary. Appreciate it very much.
All right. All my love to your listeners. Take care, my buddy.
Stay alive.
Stay alive.
Isn't that a song from Hamilton? No,
you are
not
the best.
One.
Stay alive. Thanks for coming on, Gary. Appreciate it.
I mean, he is 90, so
he still looks great, though.
He's still working. Sorry, I mean, I wouldn't say that. My dad's 91. I wouldn't say that to him. All right, Pops, love you. Stay alive.
You don't want him to?
No, I do. I do. I just
would say
stay alive.
Yeah. I mean,
stay alive. Stay alive.
We knew that was coming. Keep yourself alive. Keep yourself alive. Man.
You are the best. Stay alive. Thanks for coming on, Gary. Appreciate it.
So maybe we should sign off with that, you know?
Do we have anybody that we bring on regularly enough named Gary?
Oh, that's a good question. Gary.
It was the last time Fensick was on the station.
Yeah, Fence, it's been a while.
I was just texting with him a couple weeks ago. We couldn't fit him in.
Oh, I love that guy.
But that's the way we can sign off with someone.
I'd love to hear what Gary Fensick thinks of the way that the new regime is going.
Okay, we can talk to him next week.
With Ben and his vision.
I think you're really just trying to...
To get a Gary in there?
To get a Gary in there so we can play that.
Croton?
I mean, that would actually work too.
Gaetti? Where's Gaetti? Didn't he quit for the Cardinals? No, it was Jim Edmonds who quit from the Cardinals.
From Evanston?
Quit on the Cubs, too.
Ooh, he passed.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, Gary from Evanston passed.
He should have talked to Mad Dog.
From Evanston.
Should have took his advice.
Yeah, should have taken his advice right there. What are the Chicago White Sox? Is one thing that I'll be leaving this show with, just in my heart. That and the Uber driver who did enjoy our show, in addition to Layla.
Who are the Chicago White Sox?
Who are they?
Gotta let that go, man.
I was pleased to bring that to Layla's attention.
But you needed him to also then acknowledge our show instead of just being like,
isn't that cool?
Oh, isn't that great?
Layla's got a fan.
He likes, what do you say? I like the lady.
I like the lady.
She has good sports
thoughts. The lady, she knows her stuff. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, then I did have to bring the conversation to our show. Well, wouldn't you be curious if you're sitting in there with a guy who listens to sports radio all day? It's the opportunity for the one man crowdsourcing.
Speaks, if you've seen me out in public dealing with people who love sports radio,
yeah,
my move is almost always to fall back and like, oh, that's what you like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna be over here. You notice that on Friday?
No, around our actual people.
Usually, like, my thing is less is more. Here's what I'm concerned about.
Okay.
We've been number one for...
Oh, like, family safety and such. Yeah, I'm too selfish for that.
But I mean, for the show, like, we've been number... Like, that's what I care about. We keep winning.
There's a new book that's coming out on Monday.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It's going to be pretty good. We should get it to Wani. Wani likes reading those books.
Well, he'll be here next week.
Oh, see?
So we can get the book to him.
Oh,
if he's still interested.
Number one.
If he's still interested. That's what I like.
Yeah. He doesn't mean to bother us, but he'll bother us again next week. Can you believe draft week is basically here? We got a shorty tomorrow. I've got a shorty tomorrow.
I heard that the midday show is going to do Who's Your Guy.
Really?
Because I wasn't sure if they were, and Layla was like, oh, no, we're doing it.
I don't know, man. Reading somebody else's work
there might
sounds
be some,
like somebody else's intellectual property.
They might do some different twist on the genre, though,
really?
That I am looking
good.
Forward to.
Think to start reading Joe Sheehan newsletters, too?
I don't think they're going to do that.
Speaks, okay. Just see me after the show so we can redo the new show imaging, the Matt Spiegel show for tomorrow and beyond.
It's what he's always dreamed of.
So
I'm going to be off tomorrow. Speaks has got you after the Cubs game.
Yes, sir.
Big thanks to everyone involved in today's show. It was outstanding. Make sure that you listen up because the Take the North podcast, man.
I love that those guys are doing it live. They're really good together. They have really good chemistry. And Take the North Live is coming up next, right from the Blue Cross Performance Studio.
Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio.
Extra blue in there.
Yes, it is. So for Tanny, for our guy Shane, who brought in raspberries today. For my partner, Matt Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support that you show us. We will try to repay the favor after the Cubs game tomorrow.
You are the best. Stay alive.